Chapter 49. Kelsey stared at the cage, speechless. It was less than 12 hours since she'd administered batch 380 to the lab rat, and all trace of its initial miracle recovery had vanished. Gone were the cognitive and sensory improvements. All that remained was a twitching rat, which had been experiencing seizures since she'd arrived, possibly even through the night. She sank into her desk chair, truly deflated. How could she possibly hope to fix Taylor when her best efforts only made things worse? She peered out onto the factory floor and stared glumly at the staff settling in to take over from the automaton's night bakes. As her mind drifted, Michael's words came back to her from all those months ago. He'd been so insistent that Toma, his fugitive automaton, had cured Maul's symptoms with a strip of gel. That's when it hit her. The day couldn't go quickly enough. With agonizing clock watching, Kelsey saw it through, waiting until the last of her colleagues had gone home. She had finally realized what was wrong with her batches. Her cure was missing a vital ingredient, one that couldn't be synthesized on site, but which came directly from the ministry. Kelsey thought back to the archive room and the train delivering embossed glass slabs. The slab alone would be of no use. The vital ingredient was contained within them. Hypothetically, Toma could crack one open for her, but there was no way she could smuggle a raw slab out of the lab. The automatons guarded them more closely than anything else. Her only hope was to steal one during a bake. Suppressing her nerves, she strode across the factory floor with the air of a diligent director carrying out a spontaneous night inspection. The automatons paid her little notice. It had been many years since she was apprehended for spying on the bake process as a junior. As director, her authority now allowed her to observe bakes unchallenged by the machines. She followed the automatons to the humanoid wooden sculpture in its pool of crystal water. It unfolded a creaky, moss-covered hand revealing a glass slab, which one of the machines retrieved. They glided to the kiln, where they prepared the bake mixture from overhead chutes, stirring it into the reddish-brown putty. Kelsey watched eagerly as they cracked the glass slab among an invisible seam and poured the glimmering liquid into the clay mold. The lead automaton resealed the embossed glass slab and placed it onto a slow-moving vertical conveyor belt leading to the upper level. As the machine sculpted the clay mix, Kelsey seized her chance, snatching the glass slab off the rung before it was lifted out of reach. Her landing caught the automaton's attention. Two sets of mechanical eyes locked on her position. The nearest automaton dropped its paddle and extended a hand to the wall. Its metallic palm hovered above a large red kill switch that would abort the entire bake. Kelsey froze. She stared at the half-formed lump of clay before her, the makings of a child due to be born at dawn. The automaton extended its other hand towards her.
"Please, I really need this. It's for research. It's to help someone," implored Kelsey.
The automaton inched closer towards the kill switch.
"Wait,"
cried Kelsey. She couldn't be responsible for an abortive bake, not after all she'd done to reduce them. Besides, there would be a ministry inquiry, and she couldn't risk any more scrutiny right now, not with Clerkenwell already probing her off-book chemical usage. With a defeated sigh, Kelsey placed the glass slab into the automaton's palm. The machine deposited it high on the conveyor belt, then stared at Kelsey until it had disappeared. And hoping above all that the automatons had no motive or mechanism to report her attempted theft to the ministry. As she drove, a pair of headlights caught her attention in the rearview mirror. Traffic was rare at this time of night, and she was taking the back streets. As Kelsey turned the corner, the lights followed her. She turned another, and they followed again. Someone was tailing her. A red signal halted her in her tracks as the other car pulled up close behind. Kelsey caught a flash of red hair behind the wheel. Her anger boiled over. As the signal flicked to green, Kelsey hit the gas, speeding away, determined to burn off the detective. She screeched round a corner, but the detective was close behind. Both drivers were accelerating rapidly, neither willing to blink in the face of the other. Kelsey leaned hard into another bend, skidding into the oncoming lane. It was blind luck that it was empty as she barreled down the damp street. The woman had no right, she told herself. None of them had any right to control her this way. She was a good person. She deserved to be free. She wasn't about to give up on Taylor and go down without a fight. Not yet. And if she could just get home, she'd be safe for at least the night. The detective wouldn't be able to question her there without a warrant. Clerkenwell's driving confirmed as much. The detective seemed every bit as desperate as she was. Kelsey's knuckles were white, and her heart was pounding as the engine screamed under the strain. Speeding towards the next intersection, she glanced at her rearview mirror. The detective's car had vanished. She looked again. Still nothing. Something wasn't right. It wasn't like Clerkenwell to simply give up. She was up to something, maybe trying to cut her off. Any second now, that red-haired tormentor would burst out of a side street or skid into her mirror once again. Kelsey knew it. She could feel it. And she wasn't going to let her win. Gripping the wheel tightly, Kelsey rocketed across the intersection. The speed needle was trembling in the red zone as the engine roared. "You don't own me." That was the last thing Kelsey could remember thinking before the world went black with a deafening crash of metal and glass.